You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order, please? I see. The special it is. Be there to deliver ASAP. Cosmic Pizza Podcast, special delivery. Hello and welcome to your special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. I am Paul from the UK and today with me is...
Dan in the UK.
And Sean in Canada.
And we are here to serve you a delicious slice of life. And first things first, Sean's back!
Yay! Here I am!
Sadly missing from last week. Would you like to tell the listeners why, Sean?
I could certainly do that. If they listen to episodes 244 and 245 of the Soulforge podcast, they'll find out all about it. But basically, after 19 years living in Timmins, Ontario, the land that culture forgot, I moved back to my hometown of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And, I couldn't get on the last episode because there was lots of moving involved, packing, unpacking, all the things.
You were missed. You were truly missed from the show, Sean.
Very much so.
I couldn't get the run into the promo correct. It just wouldn't work. I couldn't do it. I had to channel my inner Sean in order to get it right.
Well, that's always wise. If you want to get something right, you always have to channel your inner Sean.
Definitely right. Well, we can. Certainly segue into promos a lot easier with you here, so I'm glad you're back.
If we can bottle the Vandaloo effect, that would be really cool, and just market it. Everyone, people seamlessly get to where they're going very quickly.
The Vandaloo effect. I like it.
Dr. Sean's Vandaloo. Vandaloo treatment or ointment or something.
De Vandaloo.
That's great. Vandaloo. The wind of Vandaloo. No, it's not. Water of Vandaloo. That's even worse. Vandaloo water. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, enough of this. Let's tell everybody why we're here this week. This week, it is Back to the Movies. We are going to look at movies from the 1990s. A little more prepared, but a little less prepared at the same time. So I went through a couple of lists because we've had a busy time here at Firbob Towers. A bit of renovations and housework and stuff. So I briefly downloaded a quick list. I went through another list and sort of compared them and put them together. I put them all in the year order, so it all nicely flows from one year to the next. And then just before we recorded, we sort of roughly compared notes and found out that I've missed a couple off the list. So I'm relying on you guys to jump in and say, hey, numbskull, you've missed this one.
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah, so let's start in 1990. And these are in no particular order through the year, but The Godfather Part 3 came out in 1990, finishing off the Godfather trilogy. Mm. Not the best... part of the Godfather trilogy, really, but it finishes the story off.
Well, I'll take your word for it, since I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Some very strange acting in it. But then we move into another gangster movie, Goodfellas.
Oh, so good.
Really?
So good.
No, I've not
love
seen
it.
That one.
Oh, it's really good. My wife's favorite gangster film. We've watched it a lot. I couldn't put it on my list because it's mainly because she was the one who introduced me to it. I didn't see it before then. But yeah, I mean, just everything about it. It's such a good, from his character point of view, how he got into the mafia, how he then progresses, and then how he gets out of the mafia and all of the turmoil that comes out of it. It's just, it takes everything that The Godfather did in three parts and just squeezes it all into three. And you got Joe Pesci being extreme Joe Pesci. Mm-hmm. Just really good, really good film.
I've seen some of the clips from it, yes. So I know what you mean, but yeah, it didn't really appeal to me. I think it was just like, I don't know whether it was one step too far for me with the sort of gangster style films, but.
And I've never been a fan of gangster films at all.
No.
I think no use for them.
I think I prefer it to The Godfather because it's got a bit more sense of humor about itself. It sort of parodies itself in some areas. And because it's told from his point of view and he narrates it as the things are happening, it's a little bit more engaging. Whereas, you know, with Godfather, you've got to sit down for 9 hours to really get into it. And it takes a long time and it takes itself a lot more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the next film, Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then we got another classic, Home Alone.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, the Saw for kids. Yeah, it's a great one. We just had the Christmas of Home Alone where the kids got obsessed with it. We'd won tickets to go and see it at Brands Hatch, the outdoor cinema. We drive in and they give you a little speaker and you watch it at the Brands Hatch like screens, the Jumbotron screen thing. And then that just kickstarted this love of wanting to watch all of the Home Alones over Christmas because it's like five of them. The first one's the only good, really decent one. The second one's okay because it's got Tim Curry in it, and then the other three don't bother. They're just abysmal.
It's funny you should say Brands Hatch, because for those of people who don't know, Brands Hatch is a motor racing circuit. And yeah, it's a good way of using the big screen. That's a clever idea, but doesn't it get sort of a bit awkward trying to park there at 100 mile an hour?
Well, when the F1s kept coming past, it was really annoying, but I think it added a sense of danger to the movie that I hadn't really appreciated before.
All lined up on the grid, I can just see it now. Two by two.
Yeah.
And then we move on to Pretty Woman. Okay, this sort of film, maybe like that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's fine.
I've had to watch that so many times from every relationship I've ever had, and I'm just I still don't get it. I really just don't get it.
Dances with Wolves. So where we start, yeah. Moving into the decade of Kevin Costner, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I have it over there behind me on Laserdisc, and yet I've never watched it.
Yeah. I don't think I've watched it either. Again, I know of it, but...
Yeah, of course, and I've seen clips, and I just...
It is that thing of, you know, the white guy who goes to another culture and is somehow adopted into it and you know, it takes on the best qualities of it and somehow is better than everyone else in that culture. It doesn't make any sense.
Because it would work the same way, the other way around as well, wouldn't it?
Of course. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's Last Samurai. It's everything all stuck into one. And I don't know. Just don't really have time for that story.
Yeah. But then we have Die Hard 2.
Not as good as Die Hard 1.
Yeah.
Edward Scissorhands.
Never liked that movie. I've seen it lots.
I saw the adverts for it and thought, that's just not for me. It's just too weird.
I'm not a Tim Burton fan.
No, neither am I.
Even with Vincent Price at the very beginning, he's amazing.
Vincent Price is awesome, but...
Yeah. He's the professor who gives him life and makes him like the... Yeah. He's kind of the Geppetto to his Pinocchio, and it's just a very weird, dark version of Pinocchio.
Okay. Then a rather disturbing Misery.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That was the movie that put me off wanting to be a writer.
I saw... I've only seen the clip of him when he gets his leg broken. And I say that because it was actually on over Christmas, I think, or around that time recently. And I just happened to switch it on just as that was about to happen. I saw it. I thought, oh, my goodness, no. I don't want to see that again. It's horrible.
Still less violent than Home Alone, really, technically.
Yeah, true.
You know, that's only one act of violence, whereas he really takes it to town.
Mm, true. Then we move into 1991. We have the obvious huge big one that would be the top of everybody's list here, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Mm. Yeah, that's for my top three, I did two. I did top three movies, and then I've got my top three sci-fi movies, and that's definitely in my top three sci-fi movies of the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it was... Terminator was a great film, a really good film. It captured everybody's imagination. It didn't make it big in the box office, but it gathered cult status. And then from there, obviously, the second one, you think, well, how's it going to beat that? I mean, but then it comes in with all the new effects. This is from 84 to 91. The special effects are just starting to take off properly in films, as we'll see in a minute. And it was just perfect. I mean, you have the liquid metal and jumping into helicopters and motorbikes and all sorts of things. It was just amazing. Some of the practical effects were just as good as the CGI. Yeah,
agreed. Amazing. It's amazing, and I watch it quite often still. So,
And in the same year, we have Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah. With the song that stayed in the charts for weeks and weeks and weeks, far too long. But I do love that. It's Alan Rickman at his best. He's a standout for me. Why a spoon, brother? Because it would hurt more. I just love it.
Yeah. I mean, it would be okay if it wasn't for so many American accents, trying to do British accents.
And Morgan Freeman being Morgan Freeman.
Then we have Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. Don't think I've seen it, but whatever. Exactly.
No, I've not. There's no one like Gaston. No one spits like Gaston.
May have been a different one, but anyway, JFK. Which we go back into Kevin Costner again.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one actually.
Nope. Oliver Stone. That's all I know, but I never watched it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you really, really, really want to know what happened with JFK and how he was killed.
Spoilers!
Yeah, don't watch this film.
Yeah, see, politics and gangsters. No, thank you. And if it's a musical, that's even less likely to be watched by me.
Oh, a musical JFK, that'd be great. I'd love to see that.
That's right.
Don't get in the car. Don't get in the car.
Don't lose your head.
The book depository. The book depository is so
okay.
Far
that
away.
I might watch. That I might watch.
Oh dear! Anyway, bang, bang, bang. Went his head. No,
back and to the left.
I apologize to all of our American listeners for my British compatriots and their lack of couth. And I know it's been 70 odd years since the guy died. But come on, maybe it's 70 years. Is this
hey,
year?
Too,
I don't know.
Too soon?
60 years? Yeah, it's
exactly.
Years.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. It's only a matter of time. Hamilton's had its day. I think JFK should be the next one.
And kudos to Sean for bringing back a 1940s word there, couth. I say, really uncouth.
I say, old chap.
It's the Vandaloo effect.
I guess every time.
Oh. Okay, let's move into 1992, where we have Aladdin.
Yeah, we did.
Hmm? A Lad Out, though, as well. I think it's much better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bodyguard. Oh, Kevin Costner again.
And Whitney Houston, I believe.
Yes.
With the song that I cannot stand. That song, I just don't get it. I don't know why people love it. No, can't stand it. It's
sound that can
it's
kill.
Just the worst. That and that Mariah Carey Christmas song, the two songs that everybody seems to love, and I cannot understand why.
Yeah.
Drives me up the wall.
So move on to Home Alone 2.
Yeah. Tim Curry in Home Alone. Yeah, great.
Basic Instinct.
Yeah, famous for several scenes.
Yes. Especially over Easter. A really good one.
That's so true.
The Unforgiven. Again, Morgan Freeman again. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
A Few Good Men.
Hmm.
For a bit of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That's what we should have called our podcast.
That'd be the rebrand.
Yes. Yeah, that was one. Yeah, when we come to the end of it, we'll change the name and go on for another 100. Batman Returns.
Yeah.
He did. He certainly did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Anybody see that one? I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I don't really care for it. I know
it's gangsters again. So, yeah.
I know it's Tarantino. I just.
Yeah. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've not seen it either.
No.
And then we've
got good.
Excellent. Wayne's World. Party time.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Never seen that one either.
Wayne's World is brilliant.
See bits of it. Love it. It starts off sort of like us three, really, in a podcast, except it's the 1990s version. then we get Malcolm X, which I've never seen.
I don't think I have either.
Nope. Scent of a Woman, which I have seen, which I wish hoo-ha, I had. Hoo-ha, hoo-ha. However he says it.
Nope. Yeah, something like that.
And then this is where we start to say where special effects really started to take off really well. Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Jurassic Park. Yes, it's Jurassic Park. There are dinosaurs in a park. Sorry, that's a meme. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yep.
Moving on.
You should do that on our TikTok. Which I just signed up for this past week, actually.
I saw you made a video.
Yeah, kind of. I had help, and it's not good, but I tried.
It's all right. You have to start somewhere, and you'll build up. Don't worry.
That's right. That's right.
That's where all the engagement is now, so yeah.
Yeah, right. I loaded it up onto the phone, and about 2 days later took it off. Too old for that sort of thing. Anyway, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Never did stand that movie. Ugh, I don't like it.
Really?
I know everybody loves it except for me.
It's okay. I mean, I've seen it, but I wouldn't go my way to see it again. But it's definitely Robin Williams at his best, I think.
He does a great job. I just, for some reason, which I don't understand, I don't like it.
Hmm.
Just one of those things.
Yeah, okay. The Fugitive.
Yeah, it was okay.
Good film. Schindler's List. Now, I must admit, I have not seen this one.
I saw that for the first time a few years back. It's heavy. It's intense. Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. It's not a subject that I'm comfortable watching.
Nope. It's brutal.
I know of it. And I'm not belittling it at all. It's a great work, and it absolutely needs to be out there. But it's not my cup of tea. I do like World War II films, but and I've watched the World at War documentary, and that is harrowing to watch. I don't think I could go through that again.
It's of that genre of movie, like you probably feel like you should watch it once, and you probably should watch it once in your life, but then not really need to go back because it is such a heavy subject and it does stick with you in a certain way. And it's one of the reasons I don't include those sorts of movies on this list. You know, it's a list I want of a movie I want to go back to or have watched way too many times to be healthy. Going back and going to a movie, I think, should be a quality, at least in our lists here. Whereas that, it's important, but I don't know. When are you really going to rub your hands together and say, oh, I must sit down and watch Schindler's List again?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't need to. It took everything to watch it the first time. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, they need to show it in all primary schools.
Mm.
May stop a few things happening like we are now. Mm. Anyway, moving on to another really happy film, Falling Down.
I've seen it. I've seen it once. It's very depressing.
Yeah. I think he brings up a good couple of few points, actually. Why can't he get a Big Mac before 10:30 or 11 o'clock?
It's very true.
Just not on. Anyway, a good film here. I want to see it again. I want to show it to my boys, but they keep swerving it. I think they probably find it too slow or something, but Groundhog Day.
Oh, yes.
What about Groundhog Day?
No, that's further down the list.
Okay. What about Groundhog Day?
No, I think that's actually further down the list.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what about Groundhog? No,
anyway, moving on. The Lion King.
Or however it goes. Yeah. The singing episode, apparently.
I fell over the other day. I think I accumbered my
tartar. Your tartar? Ooh. Yeah. Got to watch out for your tartar.
Ooh. Yeah.
Great tartar.
And then we have Groundhog Day.
That was further down the list.
Yeah.
Mm.
Then Forrest Gump.
Life is like a box of chocolates. Exactly. Yeah.
No, not seen that one. We're getting into the territory here of when I first met my wife, and you know, we were still going out of that period of time, and around about 94 is when I proposed. So we were already starting to think about wedding plans, etc. And there was a few films here that we didn't really go out to see, but there are other films that we did go and see. So some of them slipped by me. Others are not films of my time. They're sort of earlier film. 80s is sort of my time. 90s started to disappear slightly. And by the time we get to 2000s, which is our next episode in a few weeks' time, I've totally lost it because I've got kids and I haven't got time to go see films. So
that's how I'm going to feel next time we do this. That's where I'm at in the thousands, because I really struggle for the thousands to think of movies I've actually seen.
So we move on to Pulp Fiction. Not one I've seen.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you know what?
I've seen bits of it, but
yeah, it's actually pretty good. I didn't see it till about 10 years ago, I think, actually, roughly. Maybe 15, I don't know. But no, it's good. Not one I've seen lots, but it's decent. No.
Then Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
I've never seen it all the way through.
No? Okay.
No.
Probably the only time I've seen it was when it came out. I don't think I've seen it since.
I can't look at a Samsonite briefcase or any kind of like luggage that's got Samsonite written on it without saying, "Oh, Samsonite."
And again,
a silly line.
Yeah, it's great. And then we have, his name's gone out of my head. Dumb and Dumber. Who was the
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey
or Jeff Daniels?
No, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey pops up again in The Mask.
Yeah.
And I think this is Jim Carrey at his best. This is the best film I think he ever made. It is him, perfect. His acting is brilliant in both roles. I love the story. I love The Mask. I love the dog when he puts the mask on. It's cartoon in real form. I love it. Absolutely love it. And speaking of another thing I love, Speed. And I don't mean the stuff that you.
That
sort of stuff.
A likely story.
It was the 90s. It's okay.
Yeah. No, I'm obviously talking about Keanu Reeves. Yes. Was somebody else in that film? Sandra Bullock, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
Indeed.
What can I say? I think this sort of.
You probably shouldn't say anything.
Yeah, I'm far too old for her. I know she's the same age. Never mind. This is a good film. I like it. It was a disaster movie that had not been thought of before, so it was pretty unique. I liked it. And it sort of brought Sandra Bullock into the fore.
Yeah. And so there's been loads of action films that have always said, oh, it's just Die Hard with this, or it's Die Hard in that. And then I think after Speed, it all became, well, it's Speed, but this Speed on a plane, Speed on a boat. And it just, they've just tried to emulate it so many times now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So then we've got The Flintstones. Now, I didn't see it, but I think it was an okay adaptation into film.
Yeah.
From what I've seen. Then Stargate, film that started a massive amount of TV series.
That was one of my honorable mentions. It's a good one. It's not part of a franchise of movies. You know, I know we've got the TV movies from the series and everything, but it really is a standalone. It is surprising that they've never gone back to it. They've never tried to reboot it earlier than this.
There was talk of it, though, wasn't there? Didn't I hear some talk of it?
I think so.
There still is, yeah. But it's such a great idea. You know, you take the whole ancient aliens thing and you flip it on its head that they're still out there and, you know, we've got to go and fight them or take them on it's just so good. It's such a really standard 90s action film, But it's just got this crazy idea behind it of all these gods are actually aliens, and it just so good, so good fun.
Yeah, that's right. It's one of my wife's, I won't say favourite films, but she likes it a lot. We watched it again recently because it was on, I think, last year sometime. It's a really good film, a really good story, well told. All the actors are pretty good. Kurt Russell, of course. Kurt Russell, yeah. He was one of my favourite actors of the sort of 80s, 90s. And like I say, the TV series that followed it were well over 300 episodes plus spin-offs.
Yeah.
Me and my wife have watched all of them except for Universe, I think. So that was really entertaining, really good, and in some points doesn't take itself seriously, but others, you know, obviously it does. So especially episode 300. So yeah, I like it. Moving on to 1995 now, we have Toy Story.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you say about it? It's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Again, really bringing animation into the fore. You know, this is one of the things that started it all off, I think. You know, this the modern day version of animation, a computer generated animation rather than hand drawn.
Yeah, and it's four movies now have been spawned on this, four main movies, and all of them are good. Like, I can't think of which one I don't like. They're all good movies in their own right. Even the fourth one, which has come out so much later than this first one. It all works together. It's a nice complete story from Woody, getting jealous from the first one all the way to where he ends up in the fourth one. It's such a good set of kids movies that adults can watch.
It's funny because both my boys keep saying, I would say boys, they're adults now, they love Toy Story. It was one of their films when they were growing up, that we used to show it. We used to have the video of it. We played the video to death. And then they realized it came out before they were born. They just can't understand that. They go, but it was like 5 years before we were born. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, but it's weird the way that works. So moving on to Braveheart, another attempt at trying to get British accents to work from Australian Americans.
That is on my honorable mentions list.
Ooh.
I don't know how many times I've seen Braveheart, but it's a lot.
Do you get into character? Do you put blue face on?
I haven't, but maybe I should start.
So why do you like this in particular then, Sean? What's the appeal?
It's like I put it in the category of epic movies, like Lord of the Rings, Braveheart, that kind of stuff. It's just, it turns out I really like medieval type sword work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's part of it. There's a good love story. I always liked Mel Gibson. And then he became a crazy person, but that's beside the point. This was before that. And it's just the scenery and the time flashes and just, everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I don't like about it.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty good. So Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Meh. Never did like that one too much.
Yeah.
I actually learned something about that the other day, just completely by accident. It was actually developed as a Lethal Weapon script first. And because both Mel Gibson was busy with Braveheart and he sort of passed on it because he had other projects coming up, and Danny Glover just didn't want to do it, they sold it to the other studio, who then took that. They sort of plugged in these characters and turned it into a Die Hard movie. But it was originally supposed to be a Lethal Weapon script.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm.
You learn something new every day on this podcast, don't you?
There you go.
Next on the list is a Bond movie. Anybody have a guess which one? Mid-90s?
Could it be GoldenEye?
GoldenEye, indeed. Yes. The one of the best computer games taken from a film, I think. GoldenEye.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Then you have Pocahontas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have Pocahontas. Yes, let's move on from this.
It's just, I don't know, just it. The Disney Golden Age finished for me very, very quickly.
And it 1939. Right after flipping Sleeping, not so long, Seven Dwarfs.
You had your Little Mermaid, you had your Lion King, you had your Beauty and the Beast, you had Aladdin, and then Pocahontas comes along and it just, yeah, it lost me after that one. And I didn't catch up with Disney till many years later.
Yeah, Disney animations never floated my boat, and even so a lot of the films, live action films, didn't really do it for me either. Anyway, moving on. Batman Forever.
Yeah,
apparently it is, because it's still going. Seven.
Yeah, that's in the box.
Yeah, it was unusual, because I remember going to see it with my wife, and she actually liked the film, which I thought was a bit strange, because it's not the sort of thing she would have normally liked. And then I've got, sorry, I should have said Groundhog Day was going to be one of my honourable mentions, but it didn't quite make it to the honourable mention bit. But this next one did. This next one, The Usual Suspects, is another one that didn't quite make the honourable mention list. But it's a great film. I love it. I loved it the first time I saw it, as everybody does. And then, of course, the second time you watch it, you're thinking, well, now I know what to look out for. So you look out for everything and go, oh my goodness, I missed so much. Then after that, you sort of, you know what's happening, so it's a bit hard to watch the third time. But I haven't seen it for so long, I want to watch it again, because I think it's a great story. I think it's a great, it sort of made me think about what somebody will be prepared to do to get back at somebody, and what you would have to do in order to clear the decks, in order to have nothing stopping you to do that. So if somebody takes your family and holds them hostage, and they think, right, now you're not going to kill us because we've got your family, and say, no, that, I'm going to kill the family. Now I'm going to go after you. That is a little bit bonkers, but it takes the hostage out of the situation. Now you've got a clear shot at the bad guys. I wouldn't like to be in that position, but anyway. No. Yeah, I love it. And I think, unfortunately, we've got Kevin Spacey's a bit unfortunate these days, but...
A bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the understatement of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to Independence Day.
Yes, a classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now Chris Rock knows exactly how that alien feels. So there we go.
Yes, Chris Rock, the man who now can go on stage and say anything about anybody because nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Mission Impossible.
See, this one just passed me by. Like, I know that it spawned so many other movies, but it didn't really grab me back then. I really enjoyed the old 60s TV show, and I used to watch it and repeat all the time. But when it first came out, I wasn't excited to see it. And it wasn't until, I think, was it number three? I saw Mission Impossible 3 and then went back and watched 1 and 2. And I enjoyed them. They were fine, but it didn't really catch me until number three. And now I'm just, which one are we on now? Mission Impossible yet again? Rebooting something. Yeah. Mission Impossible Groundhog Day. That would be great.
Yeah, kind of like the Fast and the Furious franchise. It just keeps going.
Yeah. I haven't watched any of them. I've completely missed the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I've missed most of that too.
I missed most of them, yeah. The last one, was the one with The Rock? Or there is more than one with The Rock, but anyway.
No idea.
Yeah,
anyway, I mean, The Rock's in everything, so that's...
Oh, of course, yeah. So, yeah, just like Dan, I liked the TV series. It was great. It even had Leonard Nimoy in it. I mean,
it did.
So I was a big fan of that, and then the film came out, and I thought, great. But they take... And it was the reason why... I can't think of the guy's name. The actor who played...
Jack Reacher,
Tom Cruise, no, his boss, the guy who turns out to be bad in the end.
Oh, John Voight.
Yeah, John Voight, but the original actor from the TV series didn't want to do it because his character was the good guy, and they turn him into the bad guy here. And that's the bit I didn't like. I didn't like that at all because it was wrong. It was wrong. It's not what the character would do. So I was a bit annoyed at that. However, I've liked every other film since. We keep meaning to do a sit down and watch them all, going through all. I think they got a lot funnier and a lot more sort of tongue in cheek when Simon Pegg joined it, which is what he tends to do to films. But I think it's for the better. It's made it a little bit more less serious and a little bit more sort of humorous. So yeah, I've liked all of the ones that have spawned out of this one. Funny enough, we were talking about The Rock before. We have a film called The Rock.
With Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery.
Yeah. Talking about Nicolas Cage, have you heard the latest Play on Nerds episode?
I haven't had a chance yet.
They talk about Nicolas Cage in there.
Oh, cool.
He's good.
Yeah, trying to guess all the movies. I don't think I got any better than Jarman did, so that was good.
Then we have Scream. Another
that was good.
Film that spawned many of its type.
Rebooted the horror genre.
Yeah. And then slightly earlier than I thought this was, Trainspotting. If you want to know about drug taking in Scotland, then...
And who doesn't?
To see, yeah. And then one of the epic films, which I thought at the time was an amazing three films in one, Titanic.
Yes.
So we have the love story, the documentary of how the Titanic sank, and then the...
Kate Winslet, that's all we need to know.
The disaster movie, yeah.
There's a movie there, right.
Yeah, and spoilers again, obviously. Yeah. Oh, we did JFK, we have to give the spoilers.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Don't want to tell everybody what happens at the end, do we?
Yeah.
But Kate Winslet goes down on an old boiler. Anyway, so moving on to...
About Leo DiCaprio like that.
The Lost World, Jurassic Park. The second one obviously comes out. I don't think I've seen the second one. Men in Black, which is a good... the first one, I think, is the best one.
You're right.
Because, again, it was slightly different to everything we'd seen before. Tomorrow Never Dies, another Bond film.
Yeah, I think that was the newspaper magnate one.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. The guy creating wars in order to sell papers.
Yeah.
Yeah, prophetic.
Yeah.
The Fifth Element, which I've never seen.
Yeah, one of my honourable mentions. Yeah.
Saw it once and didn't care for it, never saw it again.
There's levels to that movie I just love coming back to. I just can't stay away from it.
So what's it all about then? Because I've noticed it.
Right. Okay. You know how there's four elements? Well, apparently there's a fifth.
Elephants. Oh, I thought it was a zoo movie.
It's very strange. It's sort of like a Tarantino film in that there's lots of different plots all happening at the same time. You've got Gary Oldman as kind of like this weapon salesman guy. You've got Bruce Willis as an brilliant, mercenary soldier, and he has to go and protect Mila Djokovic, who is the incarnation of the fifth element, and he has to get her to a certain point before all evil takes over the universe, and she's like this secret mystical weapon that this other guy or these other monks are trying to protect, and so they've got their own little story as well. Then you've got the president, who is sending waves upon waves of starships to go and destroy this evil thing in the universe, which is spawning all the evil out of it. So you've got a war story, you've got a little mercenary story, you've got a religious story with the monks, and you've got this gun runner who's working for somebody else. And there's all hell's breaks loose as all of these stories are all converging at the same point. It's a very weird, beautiful French sci-fi film, but with American actors in it. It's very, very weird, but it is well worth a look. It's very Terry Gilliam, though. And I know we've had our problems with Terry Gilliam because it is very over the top with its weirdness. So that might put people off, but I really do like it. It's just crazy enough to just be, what on earth is going on? It's very 90s, very 90s.
Mm. Oh, okay. Still one I need to watch, I think. Then we have Good Will Hunting.
Yep. It's a classic.
Yeah, again, never seen it. Batman and Robin.
We don't talk about that.
Moving on.
Well, actually, just speaking of that, as we're recording this, I got to guest on Podcasters Assemble, where you get to feed in a pre-recorded thing about a certain level of movies. So they've done all the Batman movies that have been on the cinema where it's just Batman. So none of the DCEU stuff that's just come out. And you get to watch them all in order and send in your review, and then they will edit it all together with everybody else
and from loads of other podcasts, and it's your review. And steadily, we've gone from Batman 89 all the way through so far to Batman and Robin, which just released today as we're recording this. And you can just see the hate just swarm through these movies. But fortunately, we've now got the Nolanverse coming up. So, you know, it's going to be an upward swing. But, oh my God, just having to watch that again was just a nightmare.
Very good. Starship Troopers.
Ah. Yeah. Would you like to know more?
Again, I don't think I've seen this one.
Oh, so good. Yeah. It's a classic. Absolutely classic. Based on a book. It's got nothing to do with the book. It just takes the very basic premise and then runs with it. And Verhoeven, you know, RoboCop, that kind of twisted sense of humor. It takes an imperialistic, fascistic version of America, and they go, hoorah, and they go and kill some alien bugs, but it's just taking the mickey out of all the fascist side of things, and, you know, how we can just easily be caught up in a war and we just go along with it and do whatever we want, alongside a love story and loads of other stuff as well.
And if nothing else, it's worth seeing just for Dina Meyer's smile.
Yes, her smile. Yes.
Yes. very good. I can't get a promo in at that point, so we'll carry on. I'm just trying to think.
You know what else will make you smile? How about this promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network?
You see, that's why we have him. That's why we have him. I just couldn't think of it, and there it was. It was there, right, staring me in the face. That's how you do it.
Hey, I'm a professional on a closed course.
The Vandaloo Effect.
We have 30 seconds to describe Thunder Talk.
We got big interviews.
Super red music.
What proud members of the ESO Network?
Yeah, they're probably going to fire us.
I wouldn't blame them.
We've got jokes.
Adult jokes.
And nerd junk.
Woke nerd junk.
All the woke nerd junk.
Find Thunder Talk on the internet.
And the ESO Network.
Ta-da!
Well, there you go. Thunder Talk. What a podcast.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All they do is talk about thunder. They just rumble on about it. So I believe. Anyway, moving on. We are now moving into, where are we? Oh, we're still in 1997. One more, last one of 1997. Face Off.
Yeah.
Nick Cage, Travolta. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically taking... one of my honorable mentions, which we'll come back to later, and just running with that little one concept. Moving into 1998, Armageddon.
Yeah. There was that and Deep Impact. It was one of those things where the same movie came out roughly the same time. But we actually had our first dance at our wedding to the Aerosmith song because we couldn't think of anything.
I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, we couldn't think of anything. We couldn't think of a song that we liked. So we just watched the film together and we just thought, yeah, it sounds all right. We'll just do that then.
That'll do.
Yeah, we couldn't think of a song. So we just picked that one for a laugh.
Armageddon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great theme for a wedding, really. Armageddon.
Oh, dear. Then we've got Shaving Ryan's Private. Private Ryan
put saving... the yellow VHS down and walk away.
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving great film.
Ryan's
right.
Private. Yeah, good film. In fact, I think one of the best depictions of the D-Day landings.
That's true. That is very true. But we do need a bit Babylon 5 version of this with all those NAM captains, as we've been saying over at Epsilon 3.
Yes. Absolutely. Same guy keeps dying over and over again, but it must be like loads of brothers have all been killed. There must be one left by now. Yes. And then we move on to Godzilla. 1998.
Well, moving right along.
Nah.
There's something about Mary. I didn't see that film, but
you've got something in your hair? Just a bit.
I've got hair.
Actually, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You've got way more than I have right now, so that's fair.
Yeah, mine's actually a bit long. I'm getting cut on Friday. There's something about Mary we've done. A Bug's Life. This is one that sort of sits just off the honourable mentions for me. Me and my wife quote this quite a lot because we went to see this with the kids. And it's obviously about... no, I'm getting confused with ants, but never mind. He says, well, there you go. You see, there's two lots of films there we should give to, Play on Nerds to do for their...
I think they've done it.
Okay. Is that one and Armageddon and the other one? So Bug's Life. Pretty good. Especially when you've got kids to watch it with.
Yeah, it's Pixar's Magnificent Seven. That's it.
Here's the other one we were talking about, Deep Impact.
Mm-hmm.
So that and Armageddon. Let's get that onto a Play on Nerds. The Truman Show, but way back when I was a young lad, growing up, I thought that the Truman Show, this was before Truman Show even came out, this is like 20 years before that, I thought that maybe that was what was happening to me. I thought that I was maybe in a world where other people were watching me and I was, if I did anything wrong, they'd be, a bit like Dan's getting close to the camera there.
That's pretty much how I live my life now. I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. Wherever I am, it's like I'm experiencing the movie, but I'm also watching the movie at the same time.
Yeah. So this person you were talking to, they didn't sort of stop you in the street with a microphone, did they?
No.
So if you could just turn this way.
What's from the subject? Let's cut to another promo. It's a different advert. Just nothing to worry about here. Just ignore the camera.
A set of lights falling from the sky or something.
Yeah.
So then we move on to Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah. Of the Guy Ritchie movies, my favourite, I think, of all of them.
I've not seen that one either. Gangsters and stuff. Babe, Pig in the City. Not seen that one.
Zefram Cochrane becomes a farmer.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Great minds, Dan.
Exactly. Strap a rocket pack to a pig, then I've got a movie. That's good.
Contact. So Star Wars Episode One, Phantom Menace. Moving right on to The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
A film where I fell asleep after saw the bit where the intruder was in the house and I woke up at the end and I still don't know what the hell's going on. Toy Story 2. Well, yes.
Yeah.
The Matrix. Another film that nobody had ever seen this type of style of film before. Mm. And again, another thing that I often wondered when I was a kid, am I actually in something else? Is this me sort of at the end of it? I'll finish and then I'll die. And then somebody will say, well, okay, so what did you think of that then? Did you think it was a good game? Or did you think, do you want to go back as somebody else? Try going back as a taxi driver. Maybe we're all just like running through different characters, trying out different things.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, you just find the cheat codes. That's all I want. Yeah. That's all I need to find. The only reason it's not on my list is because it is part of a franchise and a series of movies. I mean, I would obviously put this one over the other ones. Like, there is no contest between this first one and the other two, now three. It's my favorite movie probably of the 90s, if I were to include all of these things as well, because it got me through uni. I wrote so many essays about that with all the philosophical stuff that comes out of it. It's beautiful. It looks amazing. All the different cinematography has now become the standard for action. Just as Speed had done with all the action movies, now this is all sci-fi. Everything looked like this for the next 10, 15 years. Just absolutely love that movie.
Then we move on to Tarzan, which I think is the animated version. And if it is, then this is it's not the first film I've cried at. I've cried at a few films. I don't mind admitting that. This is the first film I ever sobbed at. Right at the beginning, where Tarzan's first, he's taken away from his parents and then he's saved by the apes and all this. Mm-hmm. I was watching it started tears rolling down the thing, and then I heard myself go, oh my god, what am I doing? I'm sobbing away. What am I doing? I'm 35, for god's sake. How, what the hell's going on? we were trying to have kids at the time, so maybe not at that exact time.
Oh, not at that moment?
No, not at that moment, but we were, and so maybe that was it. Maybe it was the thought of losing kids when we hadn't got any at the time. So, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. No, it's pretty harsh, and you know, if the conspiracy theories are to be believed, it's actually a prequel to Frozen, so there you go.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah, those parents are the two king and queen who die in the first one at the very beginning.
Okay, moving on to The Mummy, Tom Cruise film.
Brendan Fraser one, much better one.
Having not seen that, because I'm not into monster type films like that.
Oh, that's good.
Notting Hill. It's a British classic, I suppose. The World Is Not Enough, the Bond movie. American Beauty.
Yeah.
Don't know that one.
Kevin Spacey,
Again, it's sort of, because it's Kevin Spacey, it's kind of been lost to the ether. But it's a good film. It's a good sort of indie film, just about this guy having a breakdown.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah.
And then one that we can't talk about, because the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, that was almost on my honorable mention list. I didn't put it there, but it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. The Green Mile. 3 hours, 9 minutes of my life I'll never get back. I watched that when I was in lockdown because what else are you going to do? But, you know, I wish I hadn't. American Pie, one that I won't watch.
Dan knows.
Alison Hannigan is just the reason I would watch that anytime.
What can you say? Yeah.
Sorry.
Definitely.
And then another film which brought out a sort of another film which was a style that we hadn't seen before, The Blair Witch Project.
Yes. Saw that in theaters.
Then had to walk home through a wood after I'd watched it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was not the best night at all. And it was just off. Yeah, well, this is in Gravesend. I actually went to see Matrix at that as well. And that was one where I had a really disastrous date and took her to go and see Matrix because we didn't know what we were going to watch, and it was the only one there. And the date was awful, but loved the movie, so that was always nice. And then I went with Owen, who was from our fight night, speaking of Batman Forever just a few years ago. We went there with a whole group of people, and it was this Gravesend cinema, but you had to walk through a wood to then get to his house where we were doing the overnight stay. It was the worst idea we could have possibly had. And there was a homeless guy in the wood. There was something moving in the wood. So just add all of that to the paranoia we were feeling after coming after that movie. Ugh. Terrible.
Yeah. And then I thought this was an earlier film than this, but The Bicentennial Man. Isaac Asimov's story with Robin Williams, which I've never seen because I'd rather stick to the book, which is a strange story. But there we go.
Very sentimental. It's all right, but it's very sentimental. It leans heavily onto that side of things.
And it did in the book, although Asimov doesn't really know how to write sort of love stories and sentimentality too well. It'd probably be better in the film, to be honest. But an unusual casting of Robin Williams. So there are a few missing from that list.
Why is that?
Well, I have a couple of honourable mentions here. The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yes.
Which I think is the best conversion of book to film that I've ever seen. Everything is the same as the book, except for the last scene. So it's just the suspense that in the book that Robert Harris wrote about, they think they're going to find the guy. The FBI are all trundling down towards this house, and they think they're going to get him. And Clarice Starling there is off, on her own little path, trying to go to this house and question this guy. Turns out she's right and they're wrong, but you don't know that until right at the last minute, and when they all burst in the film, they all burst into the house and he's not there. They realise it's the other side of that, and that was exactly the same in the book. Very well written. I remember it was back in, so it must have been early 1990s when the book came out, I think, or maybe before that. 89 maybe, and I was walking through our local supermarket, and they announced over the channel, you know, well, you know, the latest book by Robert Harris, The Silence of the Lambs. I thought, oh, sounds okay, I'll give that a read. So I read that first, and then the film came out, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is so perfect to the book. Really, really good. Again, a type of film that disturbing, but is in fact a sequel. Because of the Red Dragon came out many years before that. And another one is True Lies, 1994, which is a great film. It's Jamie Lee Curtis doing the dance in front of Arnold Schwarzenegger and then messing it all up and, you know, falling over and, you know, getting on the track, and both of them are trying to sort of, you know, pretend to be other people that they're not. You know, it's really good. It's good. We saw that at a film night recently. My lads watched it and thought it was great. Any other honourable mentions that you guys have?
Well, I mentioned Braveheart, and another film that Paul and I actually covered on the Sci-Fi Waffle podcast, 1997's Contact with Jodie Foster.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, there was a whole story involved where you tried to rent it and you didn't have sound or picture, or there was something messed up about the thing.
A picture, but no sound. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a movie of 1997, and 97, I just started seeing this girl, and all we did all summer long was watch movies. So 97 was the summer of movies. It was great. I'm going to say that's all we did, but it's not. But Contact, and I've loved Jodie Foster since I was a kid. And of course, space stuff is awesome. You know, all that good stuff.
I've loved Jodie Foster since she was a kid.
Yeah, that too. That too.
Because we're the same age.
Oh yes, right.
Ish.
And then I read the book, and it's not like the movie at all. And it's so hard to read. I know Carl Sagan's awesome and he's great, whatever. But that book was atrocious. Mm. But the movie was great. I loved it.
Yeah, I think he was a. Consultant, doesn't he, on the film, and I think he's making sure he got all the science correct, and which makes it a good film.
Yeah.
Dan, do you have any honourable mentions that we haven't?
We covered Fifth Element and Stargate. There's a couple there. Evolution, where it was David Duchovny from X-Files. It was Ivan Reitman after the success of Ghostbusters. He comes back and sort of does the same format, but with aliens. And it's about these high school teachers who discover that aliens have crash-landed on a meteor, and they start taking over this small town. And so they are alien busters, basically, essentially. Then Mystery Men. Has anyone seen this one? Really underrated, I think. And really ahead of its time, really, when you think of where we are with superhero movies now. This was a parody of superhero movies that didn't exist. But it's all people with really crap superhero powers. You know, it's a real comic book. I think it's a Dark Horse Comics, but you know, it's Angry Man, who is just really angry, and the Invisible Boy, who can only turn invisible if you're not looking at him, and things like that. And it's really stupid, and it's really over the top, very silly, but well worth a look. It if you look at it back now with all of the superhero movies now and all the tropes that they play up then, and there wasn't a superhero genre to play up, absolutely brilliant. Hook is actually my favorite Robbie Williams movie of this era, just because I love the Peter Pan story, and the idea of revisiting it and Dustin Hoffman being Hook is just phenomenal. Just everything about that movie just works for me. Bangarang, I wanted to be a lost boy. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be on Neverland. And last but not least is South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. It was the movie of South Park after it sort of hit its height on the TV. They made this movie as well, purely because I was 11 years old when it came out, and I took my mother to the cinema to go and see it because I couldn't see it any other way. And she had seen the seen the TV, but had no idea what the movie was going to be. And she came out just not saying anything, and we just had a very quiet drive home afterwards. Yeah, pretty much. But she loved it. She thought it was a great musical. She really said that the musical numbers were amazing and that she really liked the O Canada one, but just, you know, didn't quite understand it herself. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
I bet.
But those are my honorable mentions. There you go.
Very good. Okay, so let's move into our top three favorite films of the 90s then. So who wants to go first? Number
well,
three?
I've got top six. So because okay. I did a top three list and then my top three sci-fi. So I'll just get rid of the top three sci-fi right away. We already talked about Terminator 2. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of my sci-fis is actually on Dan's list, so I'll leave the thunder to him. Talk about that later. And then, of course, one of my all-time favorite movies is Star Trek First Contact. It's the first Star Trek movie I actually saw in theaters. It's got Jonathan Frakes directing. It's the Borg story. It's got time travel. It's got everything you'd ever want in a Star Trek film. And I just absolutely love it and watch it all the time.
Yeah, I think it's the best of the Next Generation films, to be honest. It's
by far. Yeah. By far. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's my sci-fi list. I guess I'll just go right into the regular top three. The Big Lebowski.
Now I knew this was one of your favorites, and it is on my list of films to watch. And I did actually, I think I recorded it at one point, but I've still not got around to watching it yet. Why is it so good?
You know what? That's I'm glad you asked, because the first time I watched it, I hated the thing. I didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't care for the Coen brothers' humor. And then I watched it again, and I appreciated it more that time. It's got John Goodman in it. Who doesn't love John Goodman? Mm. It's got Steve Buscemi in it, one of my favorite actors. He's so underrated, and he can do anything. And of course, it's got Jeff Bridges in it. The dude, he's great. The humor is irreverent. Everything that goes on makes no sense, but that rug really ties the room together. And it's, shut up, Donnie. It's just everything. It's so quotable. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. And it kind of reminds me of Boogie Nights. It's not the same kind of film at all, but they came out around the same time, within a year of each other or so. And it's just, they're both ridiculous and weird. And I don't know, I just love it.
Yeah, one of those films that gets in your head and like I say, it's endlessly quotable.
It is. And I've actually got a 12-inch figure of the dude on pre-order from Sideshow Toys, which should arrive in May or June.
Ooh. Very good.
Yeah, so you got to see it, Paul.
Yeah,
it's well worth it. There's very few movies that you could say that have spawned their own cult, their own following, and they're almost religion. I mean, the religion of the dude is almost like it's a way of life for lots of people. That character is just sort of seeped into every part of culture.
So sit back and pour yourself a White Russian and go watch Thor in Endgame, because it's the same character.
Well, that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Dan, what's number three on your list?
Number three is Galaxy Quest, the greatest Star Trek film that never was.
Yes, that's my other honorable mention. It's so good.
I knew it would be on somebody's list, so I kept it off mine. But yeah, it's absolutely fabulous.
But it sends it up so well. There are so many points where it's not even a gag that they've written in. It's just in the background. Like when they're at the convention, they go into the toilet and all the aliens are standing next to each other at the urinal. It's so believable. That's something that actually happens. Yeah. And it just gags in the background that you don't even know that are being set up, but they're just there ready for the moment when it gets pulled around. All the characters are being sort of sucked out of the airlock, and they're being played around with the rock monsters about to hit them. And there's just so many bits. And even if you've never seen Star Trek, it plays up so many sci-fi tropes, because you've got the having to crawl through tunnels, and you've got the alien references because you've got Sigourney Weaver, and the idea that Sigourney Weaver has to repeat the computer and do nothing but say the one line. But she's there for the boobs, and that's all she's there for. It's so good. And the documentary, if you've never seen it, on Prime, Never Surrender, such a great sort of look at how the movie was never going to happen, and eventually it just sort of luckily pulled together at the last minute and created just a comedy masterpiece. I can't see many movies that are ever going to top it for just how well it's put together.
It's true, by Grapthar's hammer.
Oh my, what a savings.
That's right.
Alan Rickman. Oh, just so good. Alan Rickman.
Yeah. Fabulous. Okay.
You, Paul, what's your top three?
Number three.
Well, sneaking into the top three list here, because we spoke about Robin Hood before with the Kevin Costner and all that. Well, that was just so ridiculous that it had to be parodied. And sure enough, 2 years later, Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Were men in tights. Yeah, I mean, oh, fabulous. It's just, and the funny thing is, they've got a better actor, the proper actor, for doing a British accent. Somebody who can actually wield a sword correctly, because he has done in Princess Bride many times, Cary Elwes. He knows how to do comedy. He can do straight the straight bits, but comedy is I think is his best trope. He's brilliant at the nods to the camera, the winks, the the selling the joke by saying, here's the joke, now here's the punchline, here's the punchline. he can do that really well. The rest of the cast are fabulous as well, and it's Mel Brooks at the top of his game, I think. Abe Lincoln. What? Abe Lincoln? It's just so many things. And then to have Patrick Stewart at the end coming out as the Sean Connery character, if you like, it's just a nice little twist at the end to get the big star at the end of the film. And of course, I can't remember the guy's name now, the guy who plays...
The Sheriff.
The Sheriff of Nottingham, that's sorry, yeah.
Yes. Is it Roger Rees?
Roger Rees, that's the guy. When he gets stressed, he starts putting the words into the wrong order and things like that. Tracy Ullman as Latrine, great name for the witch. It's just phenomenal. Amy Asbeck. it's just absolutely. What can I say? I mean, it's so funny. It's hits all the right notes. Takes the Mickey out of the film. And has, like I say, has more British accents in there than any of the film that's bothered to do Robin Hood. So yeah, absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So back to Sean. What's your number two on the list?
Number two on the list is The Shawshank Redemption from 1994. Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins, William Sadler, and all the rest. You've seen it, I hope.
I have not seen it. It's one of those films it was on my list of films to see because everybody says it's a classic, it's a great film. But it's a Stephen King novel, so it sort of worries me slightly.
No, it doesn't have the horror that you'd expect.
It's not the horror so much. It's just the long-winded story that just keeps going on as a story and gets to nowhere and then it just ends.
But all the acting is top notch. It draws you in every single time. I don't know how many times I've seen it. It was one of those ones where the title turned me off immediately, so I didn't watch it for quite a while, and then I finally did, and I'm like, wow, this is fantastic. And I don't normally like period pieces, but this was great. Everything about it is just it sucks you in. It draws you in. The story's great. It's got Raquel Welch poster in it from 1 million BC. So how can you not love that? Andy Dufresne crawls through a river of shit and comes out clean on the other side. It's just, wow. You have to see the thing.
Yeah.
It's just good. It's so good. There's not much. You can't say anything else about it. It's just awesome.
It is the movie that starts the whole Morgan Freeman can answer every problem in any movie, because he's just there and he just knows how to facilitate what he needs, what Andy needs in the whole film. And he has that presence, and it just carries through to all the other movies he's in this decade and beyond. It's so good. And there's a reason why it's always in like the top 10 of the greatest movies ever made, because it's an experience. Again, probably not one of those ones you go back to all the time, because it is a strong movie and a lot of emotions can come from it. And you're not going to go, oh, I really want to feel like that sad again. But it's so good. It's such a good movie.
I've probably seen it 7, 8, 10 times.
Very good. Dan?
For me, Cruel Intentions is my second one.
Yes, sir.
I have no idea why I picked this movie. No, this was actually the first movie I ever bought on DVD because I had no idea. I'd never seen it in the cinema, didn't know what it was. I just knew that Sarah Michelle Gellar was in it. I was a big Buffy fan, and I hadn't
That was reason enough.
Yeah, I hadn't watched Dangerous Liaisons. I didn't know that it was a take on that and that play and that book. I had no idea what the story was. I knew that Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon were a real couple in real life and that they were playing this, you know, will they, won't they, all the way through. But he was secretly playing her for most of the movie, but then they actually fall in love by the end. It's a love story. You know, there's loads of other characters, loads of other actors in it that I've seen in lots of other things. But it's mainly because that was my second date movie. Like, I would take my date out, and if it was successful, you know, come back to mine. I'll cook you some dinner and we'll watch some Cruel Intentions. So I basically had the best time of my life because of this movie. I have got literally no, there's no highbrow reason that I love this movie other than the fact that it was my second date movie so many times. I owe it a lot. I owe this movie a lot.
You've watched it hundreds of times. Oh, right. Okay.
So many times.
Watched, oh, boy.
Watched it all the way through, honestly.
I don't believe you.
That's fine. Well, to really appreciate it, you have to kind of sleep through some of it and then go and rewind it back afterwards.
Of course, of course.
It's the only reason that's the reason you've had so many second dates is because you watch the first 5 minutes and you have to do it again to watch the second 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And
you I'll cook you a different dinner. It's fine. You know that thing where DVDs used to do this, where if you left them in the player for long enough, they would then loop back around and start playing again. I know the music to the title thing of Cruel Intentions so well because it just left playing for hours. So I know that when I die, the last firing synapses in my brain will be the music for the Cruel Intentions title or DVD.
What it really is, Sean, is that, you know, he's using the rhythm method. And he needs the right music.
I have no idea what you mean. I didn't come here to have my... That's like your opinion, man.
Okay, let's talk about Paul's second movie.
Well, you know that game where you put a mat on the floor and it's got colours on it and you have to put one hand on blue and then a green on foot and all that type of thing?
Let me think.
They made a film about it.
I have to Helen Hunt through my memory for that.
That's the one. It's Twister. Again, another film we hadn't seen the like of before. It was a disaster movie, but with tornadoes. And again, Cary Elwes pops up in the film. Two Cary Elwes films in my top three. Again, the special effects were pretty good. When you look back at it now, a little bit ropey, but at the time, they were really, really good. You know, the actual noise that the twisters make as they spin round, and it's just a great film. And Helen Hunt in the shower, and then we also have the crew, and again I've forgotten the guy's name who passed away recently, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh yeah,
Dustin Davis, his character was. I quote his when they're all they want to go to whoever then. Name of the aunt was Aunt May or whatever, and they'll go, oh yes, we want food. I quote him a lot for doing that. I also me and my wife, every time something goes past us or goes past another way or whatever, we give a cow. Another cow. No, I think it's the same cow. So yeah, we quote that. It's a great film. I've only recently just put that on DVD to replace the video that we obviously got rid of videos a while back. Bill Paxton. I absolutely love Bill Paxton. I think he's a very underrated star. I think you put him into a film and he gives you a solid performance every time. And he's always been playing second fiddle to everybody in all the other films, bit parts or whatever. He is up front and centre, and he just takes the film by the scruff of the neck and runs with it, and it's great. Love it. And if they ever do make a sequel, not a sequel, well, a sequel wouldn't be too bad, but if they try and reboot this damn thing, I will throw it in the bin. I will burn every copy I can find of it because this is a classic. You cannot redo a Bill Paxton film like that. So love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, if they redo it, you know the tornado is going to be the size of the Earth and it's going to encompass everything and it's just going to be bigger and badder. Yeah, and
that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, into our top films now, Sean.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to get some feedback for this one. speaking of non-highbrow films, as Dan previously mentioned, another film from 1997, The Summer of Movies. Con Air, Nicolas Cage, Cole Meany, John Cusack, and all the rest. Absolutely love this film. Oh yeah, John Malkovich. So many good actors. I don't know what I love about it. It's got explosions. It's got a prison break. It's got Dave Chappelle. It's got action and adventure and airplanes. It's got Nicolas Cage and Steve Buscemi and over the top acting and you name it. It's just, I love it. I quote it all the time. Regular hound dog, and just July 14th. My birthday is July 14th. My daddy's coming home for the first time ever on July 14th. Put the bunny back in the box. Why couldn't you do that? You know, it's just, it's so good. And maybe it's cheesy. Maybe it's bad acting. I don't care. I love it. It's the first time I saw, what's his name? Danny Trejo. He's great. It's just so much fun. And I try to watch it every July 14th. I've probably seen it 25 times, if not more. Is it the greatest movie in the world? No, not at all. But do I love it? Do I love it more than any other movie in the entire universe? It's pretty close. Sometimes I change my mind and I'm like, I'm not going to watch it this July, but I've seen it so many times and it's just, you know, if the driver in the white Corvette would have moved his car, everything would have been okay.
Very good. You mentioned Cole Meany there. I've just suddenly realized it because that just put a thought into my mind. I thought, hang on a minute, there's a film I've missed out here. When was that made? 1992, Under Siege. Exactly the same reasons that I like it that you just mentioned there. Is it a good film? Probably not the best story. Well, it's a story. It's one of those ones where you just open your mind, take the brain out, put it to one side, and you sit down with a beer and just have a good time because it's all macho, you know, male-orientated, you know, kicking the ass out of people. But Cole Meany's in that one as well. I recently bought this, or got it for Christmas, I think it was. It's like £2 in a bargain bucket somewhere, and I thought, that'll do, we'll have that. I showed it to my eldest lad, and he liked it. It's a really good film. But I was a big Steven Seagal fan back in the day, and I think this is one of his better ones. But it's got Gary Busey.
Yes. Yes. And just so you know, there's now two men I trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So Under Siege was a bit, sorry, an honorable mention that I'll just throw in there, which I totally forgot about. Anyway, so yeah, that's great, Sean. Yeah. It's great when you get a film like that and you watch it regularly at a certain time or, you know, for a certain, like a Christmas movie or whatever. It's good to have films like that. And like you say, it's a film that you just, it's not a classic. It's a classic, but it's not a, you know, a thinking man's classic, you know. It's just a,
oh, definitely not. Definitely not. But it's so much fun. Yeah. And the lines that you can quote and just everything about it. I adore it. Yeah. So that's all that is.
That's all you need. Yeah.
But like earlier, you know, it's Die Hard on a plane, but with the element of speed as well, because there's that deadline before they get to the end. So, you know, it's the fusion of two great action films put into one with Nicolas Cage. Done. Mm-hmm. What else do you need?
Nothing.
Dan.
Right. I was trying to think if there was a theme to my choices. So if Galaxy Quest is my first love of Star Trek, but it's a parody because I can't really have a Star Trek movie because that's a big franchise. So that's number three. Number two was obviously, number two. And number one is Dogma. Not because I love Kevin Smith, but because it is the movie, the conversation, as I've probably said in loads of other episodes of this podcast, that got me talking to my wife and got sort of broke the ice. And that is the conversation that really started the Kevin Smith movies, specifically Dogma. It's just a wonderful, silly movie about two angels who want to get redemption because they flipped off God. And, he didn't like it, so he banished them to Earth. Now they found a loophole because the Catholic Church are going to just, for one day only, forgive any sin if you walk through the doors of the church. And because God is infallible, if they do and walk through the doors, they will break the universe. They will destroy the universe. So now a road movie starts where the descendant of Jesus, Kevin Smith as Silent Bob and Jay as Jay will have to go on a road trip to stop these two angels from walking through two doors of a Catholic church and destroying the universe, and hilarity ensues. I love this movie. It is so stupid. It's the best movie with a rubber poop monster in it you will ever watch.
Yes.
It's got Chris Rock as the 13th apostle Rufus, who got completely written out of the Bible because he's a black guy. You've got Alanis Morissette is God, and she can't speak, otherwise she will explode your head.
Selma Hayek.
And a second one of my two of my three picks, that's got Alan Rickman as the Metatron.
Yes,
the voice of God. We're trying to work in a time frame here. It's so good. So it's such a good, silly movie. And one of my favorite little bits of trivia behind the scenes is that it got protested so much by the far right Catholic believers in America that they started protesting outside the movies, and they only had 12 people there, and Kevin Smith kind of felt a bit sorry for them, so he went out and protested his own movie with the other Catholic protesters, and they had no idea who he was because they hadn't really researched the movie. And when the news crew turned up, he gave the name of his best friend Brian Johnson and started saying, well, this movie is just terrible. I haven't seen it, but lots of people tell me that it does has no real truth to it and no great world, wealth of information for it. And it's just taking the mickey out of Catholicism. And every time they challenge him on who he actually is, you are him, aren't you? You're him. And he looked over and there's a cross of Jesus. And he says, no, that's him. That's him. And it just carries on protesting his own movie. Just one of my favorite movies of all time. In fact, I watched Dogma so many different times.
Wow, that's not one I've seen.
I've seen it quite a bit as well.
Very funny.
Yeah, have to look that one up.
Yeah.
Okay, on to my top one. So we've had. So my number three was Robin Hood, Men in Tights, which had Cary Elwes in, and then number two was Twister, which had Cary Elwes in and Bill Paxton. So my number one has got Bill Paxton in it. There's a bit of a link going on here, a bit of a chain. And it's a true story. It actually happened. It's based on a book, which was written by one of the people who was actually there. So it must have happened. It's Apollo 13.
Ah.
It's this actually, guys, we've got to this point now where this is my favorite film of all time. This is my number one.
Nice.
My dad. He loves all the Apollo spacecraft. He loved all the space race at the time, and he sort of infected me with that same enthusiasm. I wasn't around. Well, I was around when Apollo 13 obviously had its problem. I was too young, about 5 or 6. So I didn't know anything about it, but it was a big thing at the time, obviously. I mean, the whole world was taking notice about this thing going on. I mean, three astronauts stuck in space with a spaceship that's disabled. They've got to find a way home. It happened on the way to the moon. They had to then come back. And how do you do that? There's not enough life support to help these guys. The only way they can do it is to switch off the whole spacecraft and basically almost freeze to death trying to survive for so long. They have people on the ground trying to work out how to fix things with just what they had in that pod. He said if it's not in the pod, then you can't use it because they wouldn't have it. the acting of every single person in this. Tom Hanks, of course. I mean, you know, Tom Hanks. I mean, that's obvious that he's going to be, the top man. Kevin Bacon, of course. You know, you're always going to have a great performance out of him. Ed Harris plays Gene Kranz. Gary Sinise, the first time I've seen him, he did a cracking job of Ken Mattingly. Xander Berkeley is the guy from 24. Joe Spanner was the guy who was in Hill Street Blues. But the story, you know, it's a true story, and it's the suspense is incredible. And they have a lady playing Jim Lovell's mother, who's obviously in the home, and they try and distract her, and so they have a couple of actors come in playing Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. You know, it was all happening around that time. I mean, it's a great historical document. And I also like that they have actually got Jim Lovell as a little cameo performance at the end, where they arrive back on the ship after, you know, splashing down, and he's the captain of the ship, shaking Tom Hanks's his hand at the end of it. Now, normally, as Tom Hanks has said in the past, he says when he goes to play a character, he will go, and it's a real person, he'll go up to that person and say, look, I am going to do things that you didn't do. I'm going to say things that you didn't say. You know, I'm going to be a person that you are not. You know, once it goes to, you know, the character goes onto the screen, there will be stuff there that you never said and never did. But in this case, most of it, 99% of it, is true. And even on the DVD, they actually have the commentary, and they have Jim Lovell doing part of the commentary there. And he's going through saying, yes, this did happen, and yes, this did happen. I thought when they were up on the ship and everything's getting really tense and there's been an explosion, and they start shouting at each other and arguing with each other. And I thought, no, they're all professionals, and, you know, they're all, you know, well-trained astronauts. They wouldn't be arguing like this. And he said, nope, that was true. That happened. There was tense moments like that where we were, you know, snapping at each other. And, you know, it was really, really, you know, your life's on the line here, and you have no control over it whatsoever. It's all down to, you know, ground control and them to get you back. So it's just a phenomenal film. It's so well filmed. It was filmed on the Vomit Comet. They would they built a set inside the Vomit Comet, flew it up in the air, dropped it so that there was no gravity whatsoever, or the effect of no gravity whatsoever. And then these guys floated around doing their takes in 30-second bites. That is attention to detail, and that is only ever really going to be done by Ron Howard. He's a genius director. His attention to detail when it comes to character parts is phenomenal. There is no better director for that sort of thing. And that's why I love most of his work. So yeah, absolutely my top favorite film of all time.
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
Well, worth it, yeah.
So are there any films I've missed off the list there, guys? I mean, there probably is.
And I'm sure Free Enterprise. Free Enterprise from 1999.
Of course,
It's got William Shatner in it.
Yeah. Oh, very true. It's the decade that gave us Austin Powers, which became a huge thing for the preceding decade. But there's loads of different movies that all came. It was really genuinely hard, just as hard as the 80s, to really pin it down with these movies. I had to just impose so many things onto my judging.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't even talk about Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah. So many different things.
Yeah. Lots of good ones.
Yeah. Boomsticks. Oh.
Shop smart, shop as smart.
Yeah, there was a few there I deliberately missed out because there were maybe chick flicks or didn't quite make it into the list or whatever. But I'm sure our listeners will say, hey, you missed out this one.
Well, if they want to give us some feedback, where would they do that?
Well, they can get hold of us on cosmicpizzapodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page where you can leave us some feedback on the Facebook page, Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Excellent. I hope they do.
Mm. Yeah. So I think that's it for this decade.
Oh yeah, the pizza is beyond cold by now.
Oh, God, it's gone rock solid. It's gone to the point where you put it in the fridge and leave it for tomorrow, I'm afraid.
Mm. I think so.
Yeah, our special is gone. The grease in the box is definitely cold, and we hope you are full to the brim. So join us for more slices of life, especially the films of the 2000s in maybe 3 or 4 weeks' time, 4 or 5 weeks' time maybe, whenever that's scheduled to go into. And that will be when we deliver our next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. We've been your deliverers today. Please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries, rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you'd like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@hotmail.com. And we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.